On this day, June 13th, 1777, a young man leaves his native land, riches, and ease in order to help Americans fight their war for independence. Who was he? We'll tell you that story. Let's get started. On Christmas night, 1776, George Washington crossed the Delaware with 2,500 men, marched over 9 miles through a snowstorm, and surprised the British at Trenton, taking 1,000 prisoners. Then, on January 3rd of 1777, less than 2 weeks later, Washington performed another great maneuver, marching around Cornwallis's flank and defeating the British in Princeton, after which Washington dug in at Morristown. Now, this position threatened the British line of supplies and prevented them from crossing New Jersey to take Philadelphia. As a result, they stayed the next 5 months in New York. Now, these maneuvers convinced the world that the Americans were for real and were under the command of a great man in Washington. Well, the French basically thought, man, that Washington's got some moves. These Americans are worth supporting. And remember, too, that the French were motivated somewhat by revenge because of recent dealings they had with the British that didn't come out in favor of the French. So this was a good opportunity for the French to get even. Now, one Frenchman really stands out. He was the not-quite-20-year-old Marquis de Lafayette. Unwilling to wait for his government to act, he fitted out a ship at his own expense and headed to America. And on this day, June 13th, 1777, the Marquis de Lafayette arrived in the American colonies. Now, Lafayette offered his services to Congress free of charge, and Washington used Lafayette throughout the war, and he was even wounded in Pennsylvania. Near the end of the war, Washington sent Lafayette to defend Virginia, after which the British were cooped up at Yorktown waiting for reinforcements. And the rest, as they say, is history. Now, when Lafayette first came to America, the war seemed like a joke to most people. After all, it was the mighty British against a country with no large manufacturing capabilities of iron or cloth. They could barely make a cannon, for crying out loud. How are they going to stand up against British might? And yet, I think Lafayette pointed to the secret of their power. This is what he said of the Americans. Simplicity of manners, kindness, love of country and of liberty, and a delightful equality everywhere prevails. All the citizens are brethren. In America, there are no poor or even what we call peasantry. Now, true, there are some inconsistencies with that statement when you consider slavery existing. It was a terrible thing, of course, but that would be fixed later. Lafayette was commending the fact that the citizens considered themselves brethren. The question is this: if Lafayette came today, would he say those same things of us today? So instead of pointing out inconsistencies of the people of 1777, let's correct our own inconsistencies lest we be found hypocrites. Sound good? All right, that's the best way to look at history. Well, once the war was over, Lafayette, saying goodbye to his new friends, returned to his native land of France. But in 1824, he came back to the States for a visit. Now, remember, in 1777, Lafayette came from a rich family. He could have enjoyed his youth and comfort and ease, but instead, he offered his life and used his riches in the cause of liberty. And now, almost 50 years later, he returned to the land he loved. And a lot of changes took place since Lafayette's first visit. The landscape of the America he visited in 1777 changed greatly. And the man himself had changed a lot as well. Lafayette was no longer a young man. He walked a lot slower, his hair was gray, and his brow was furrowed with age. Lafayette, when he first came to America, saw a few poorly organized colonies struggling for liberty. And now, his aged eyes are beholding a booming nation, respected all over the world, with growing cities, booming industries, and spreading rapidly westward. But there was one thing that didn't change in Lafayette or the America that he loved, and that is the love of liberty. The love of liberty survives changes in landscape as well as the age of a person. It's timeless, we might say. Now, Lafayette visited every state when he was here. The people gave him a hero's welcome everywhere he went, and Congress voted him $200,000 as well as land in Florida, which they asked him to accept as payment for his services during the war. Now, this came in handy since Lafayette had lost his fortune because of the fiascos that were going on in France since the years of their revolution. And in June of 1825, Lafayette attended one of the biggest events Boston ever held up to that time, and he laid the cornerstone of the Bunker Hill Monument on the 50th anniversary of the event. Now, after Lafayette's 14-month visit, he boarded a ship called Brandywine, named for the battle in which he was wounded, and returned to his native land. That's the story of Lafayette. On this day, June 13, 1777, Lafayette arrives in America to help fight for independence.